on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
I'm the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America. You will listen to me.
Heller is caught by Omar as he tries to break out of the compound.
Put down your weapon. If another one of my men dies, your daughter will be killed.
We need to get out of here.
What?
You're in danger.
From who?
Don't ask questions, just come with me.
Trust Please me. Help me!
Debbie, what's wrong? Debbie, what's wrong? Debbie. What did you do to me?
Debbie slips from Beruza's arms onto the floor, dead.
O'Brien.
Satellite up yet?
No, I have to reposition without Driscoll noticing. Where are you?
I'm in a Mercury Mart in Somers. I had to stage a robbery to keep the hostel in place.
Tell those officers to put their guns down and stand back!
Edgar, I need you to help me.
Help you with what?
I've been in contact with Jack Bauer.
What?
That's right. Now you're involved. So you're either going to help me or you're going to turn me in.
You're asking me to do something that can get me fired.
I know you're working with her behind Driscoll's back.
What do you want?
I want to make sure I have your attention whenever I need it.
Chloe, why are you logged on to an active DOD satellite? All right, you're done here.
I was going to quit anyway.
I want you to call Jack Bauer now.
Driscoll wants to talk to you.
Stand down, Jack. It's over.
Aaron, right now Hassan is free. He's looking for a car and a phone. Once he has those things, he's going to lead us straight to Secretary Heller, I promise.
A police roadblock bars Jack from driving forward.
Get out of the car!
Get your hands up and step out of the vehicle!
The following takes place between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Do we still have a sat visual on Khalil Hassan?
West at a 14 on Route 11. Average speed 62 miles per hour.
Right, I want traffic workups, road work schedules. We can't let anything delay or prevent him from reaching his destination. We need the tactical teams to launch now, keeping the Jack's location.
I'm coordinating with the vision. You want me to bring that?
Yes, we're on point.
All right.
Curtis, I can pull up those tactical teams for you if you want.
No, you can't. That requires a level 3 channel. You don't have that kind of clearance.
Miss Driscoll, I have a Sergeant Paulson from the Sheriff's Department on line 1. He says it's important.
Driscoll picks up Sarah's phone.
Sergeant Paulson, this is Aaron Driscoll at CTU.
Yeah, I have a man named Jack Bauer in custody. He claims he works with you. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
He just robbed a convenience store near Route 11. Claims it was part of some undercover operation to delay a suspect until satellite coverage could be established.
That's also true, Sergeant.
Well, it might be nice if you communicated with us a little better.
Well, there were some national security issues involved, and I'm so sorry for any inconvenience. May I please speak to Mr. Bauer?
All right. Uncuff him.
As a California highway patrolman releases Jack, Sergeant Pulser hands him his cell phone.
Thank you. Tell me that you didn't arrest Hassan.
No. Stolen a vehicle, and we're still tracking him by satellite. We intercepted a phone call that indicated he's headed for the site where Secretary Heller's being held.
You're going to need someone coordinating things on the ground. That should be me. Aaron, listen to me. We can get Heller and Audrey out of there, but we need to work together, and we need to start that now.
We have to find Heller before this trial starts.
That's the right move, Aaron. He's our only option.
All right, you're in, but you coordinate through me. Jack, make this work.
I will. Please advise Sergeant Paulson of the new chain of command.
Fine.
Yep.
In my capacity as director of CTU, I'm vesting Jack Bauer with the authority to command and control this part of the ground operation. Consider him in charge.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Sounds like you're the new boss. Tell me what you need.
The vehicle the hostel was driving was stolen. I need to make sure there's no APB on it. If there is one, I need you to get CHP to cancel it.
Get on.
Yes, sir.
I also left my CTU vehicle over the convenience lot.
I'll have it brought right over.
Thank you.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Alberta Watson as Aaron Driscoll, and William Devane as Secretary James Heller, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Speeding along a highway in a stolen pickup, Khalil reaches for his cell phone.
Hassan's making another phone call.
Bring it up, patch it through to Jack.
Bauer, Jack, it's Edgar Styles. Hassan's making another phone call, I'm patching it to you.
Okay.
is?
It's Khalil. I'm on my way.
How much longer?
About a half an hour.
The broadcast must begin on time.
Any problems?
Nothing I couldn't handle. How are you coming with the servers?
Duman and Fares are managing, but I'm sure they could use your help.
I'll be there soon.
All right.
Did Heller sign the confession?
Yes. He didn't want to, but we used his daughter.
Did you kill her?
Not yet.
Sergeant Paulson, what's the ETA on my vehicle?
Any second, Agent Bauer.
I'll see you soon.
Play back.
Jack's four-track arrives at the roadblock.
Tell your men to stay on channel 3.
11:06. Jack climbs into LaBelle's CTU vehicle and hurries after Khalil, snaking around several police units who turn and quickly follow from a discreet distance behind. Back at the compound, a guard checks through a peephole of a heavy iron door. Beyond, Heller and Audrey are chained back-to-back on chairs and confined in a locked storeroom.
Dad, you did what anyone else would have done in your position.
I embarrass my country.
You signed a piece of paper. All lies. Everyone will know that you signed it under duress.
It's more than a piece of paper. This trial is going to be a spectacle, broadcast all over the world, designed to humiliate and degrade this country.
Dad, there's still time.
There's no sense in deluding ourselves. There's less than an hour. We're going to do anything, we have to do it now.
We've done everything that we can.
Not quite.
What do you mean?
What if I'm not alive? They can't put me on trial. If I'm dead, their goals go right out the window. And they'll be viewed as nothing more than common assassins.
Dad.
Listen to me. Even if I say what they want me to say, and I gotta let me go, they're gonna put me in front of a camera, humiliate me, and then they're gonna kill me with the whole world watching.
There are people on the outside looking for us. You cannot give up.
I have to do something while I still can. And I need you to help me.
Help you?
Chain between your handcuffs. See if you can get it up and around my neck.
No. No.
I can't do it myself. I don't have any leverage.
No.
But you can pull from back there.
Dad.
I'm counting on you to help me. Give it a try, Ashley.
Stop it.
Ashley, try it.
Stop it. I will do it.
Audrey lays back her tearful head onto her father's shoulder and snuggles into him like a child. As she opens her watery eyes again, she sees a cooling unit high up on the wall and a long pipe leading down to a nearby tap close to the floor.
There's a gas pipe. If we could break it.
No. Break that, you die too.
Do you think that they're gonna let me out of here alive? Do you? They're gonna kill me, too. Dad. Together we can do this. We can do it. Okay? Please.
Together, they inch their chairs over to the gas tap, dragging their chains with deadly effort. Once at the wall, Audrey kicks off her high-heeled shoes and artfully lassoes the protruding tap with her leg chains, clamped to her ankles by medieval-seeming manacles.
Ready?
Yep.
Using her feet, Audrey yanks on the chain with all her strength. On the second tug, the metal shears and gas begins to fill the room with death. End of part one. Part two. 11:14.
I want full analysis on both these voices.
Okay. I'll have it done in 10 minutes.
Okay, good.
Marianne sneaks over to Edgar.
Edgar.
What, Marianne?
What's a level 3 channel?
It's a logon that gets you into all the systems, tactical, district, and division.
I want it.
What do you mean?
I want clearance for a level 3 channel.
I can't give it to you. Only Driscoll can authorize that.
I don't care who authorizes it. I want it.
Look, just because you overheard that conversation between Chloe and me doesn't mean I'm your bitch.
Marianne dials Driscoll on Edgar's video phone.
I'm done being scared of you.
Miss Driscoll, it's Marianne.
Yes, Marianne, what is it?
I have some further information for you regarding Chloe circumventing your authority.
I'm listening.
I don't think she was acting alone.
Who was she working with?
Edgar implores her not to tell.
I'm not sure, but I found an electronic echo on her call log, and every time she spoke to Jack, there was someone else on the line, too.
That's an automated behavior on our system. Doesn't mean anyone else was on the line. Is that the extent of your suspicions?
Yes, I'm sorry to have bothered you.
You're sick.
You're going to go to Driscoll, and you're going to tell you're overloaded and you need some help. And you're going to ask her to issue me a level 3 channel clearance.
Meanwhile, Khalil zooms along the freeway towards Omar, closely pursued by Jack, who tracks him and monitors the supporting police units by satellite surveillance patched through his PDA.
Unit 3, this is Bauer. Do you copy?
Got it.
Back off another 200 yards. We can't afford to be spotted here.
Jack, you there?
Yeah.
The Marines have assembled and are leaving base.
Okay, have Chloe collate the satellite images, make sure they stay in sync.
Chloe's in a holding room, Jack. She's been suspended.
We could use her help here.
Things are under control. I'll have Curtis collate the images.
Aaron, Chloe was just doing what I asked her to.
The point is, she was supposed to be working for me.
I understand that, but...
Jack, it's one thing for you to disobey me in the field.
But for someone who works for me here at CTU to betray me...
I can't reactivate her. It's a non-starter. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
11:17. Chloe sits impatiently in a dingy holding room, kicking her heels with boredom and frustration. As she jumps to her feet, the security door opens to reveal a sour-looking Driscoll.
We have a situation here.
I realize that. I can do the math as well as anyone.
The math?
Protocols were violated. Someone has to take the bullet. Jack's indispensable right now, and I'm not.
Took a lot of guts for you to do what you did.
I trusted Jack.
A lot of people around here trust Jack. Doesn't mean they're going to risk their careers for him. I have a suggestion. I'm going to leave this room, call admin. They'll fax over some resignation papers and you sign them.
And then what?
And then nothing.
I walk out?
You walk out.
No jail, no sanctions?
That's right. Though if you need a letter of recommendation for your next job, you probably should get it from Jack, not me.
Right.
Sound like a plan?
Yes.
As Driscoll walks coldly away, Chloe sighs with relief and regret. Meanwhile, back at the Araz house, Dina drags Debbie's body across the floor with a carpet.
For God's sake, pull yourself together.
She didn't know anything. You didn't have to kill her.
Yes, I did. Because you didn't have the courage to kill her yourself.
Courage? To poison a girl who did no harm to you at all?
The sound of a barking dog alarms Dina. She rushes to the door, sees Navi talking to a neighbor, and locks it from the inside.
Your father's home.
What are you doing? She's already dead.
Your father doesn't see a bullet wound. He'll ask questions. Do you want him to know that you tried to help your girlfriend escape? Do you want him to know that you failed him again? Move away!
She shoots Debbie's corpse.
Take it. Take it. Beirut, take it! Take it! This has to stop, Beirut. You are my son, and I love you. But I cannot let you destroy everything. Everything we worked so hard to achieve.
As Navi enters through the front door, Dina rushes towards him away from Beirut, who stands over Debbie's body, the gun in his hand. Navi sees him and draws the intended conclusion. Beirut stands speechless, staring numbly at his former lover. Navi looks at the gunshot wound in Debbie's chest, then back at Dina, before finally addressing his son.
I know this was difficult for you, but it was necessary.
You'll dispose of the body tonight after dark. Meanwhile, move her car. Park it somewhere where it won't be seen. Then come straight back here. Navi?
Dina and Navi walk into the kitchen, leaving Beirut to mourn Debbie's loss. Heavy-hearted, he looks down at her, collapsed onto the floor, blood seeping from the wound in her chest. He cradles her head in his hands and begins to stroke her arching forehead. Debbie's phone begins to ring. Beirut reaches into her jeans pocket and flips open her cell phone. He checks the caller display. It reads, "Call from Mum." Beirut recoils in horror. Meanwhile, back at CTU, Edgar sidles over to Marianne, who works intently at her computer.
What?
You got your level 3 channel clearance?
Yes, I did.
So we're done, right? I mean, I don't think I should have to keep doing things for you. What's this about anyway? Why do you need a level 3 clearance?
Look, you may be happy tapping away at a keyboard for the rest of your life, but I'm not. I have an opportunity here to get ahead, and I intend to use it.
Curtis watches as Edgar begrudgingly withdraws. 11:22. Chloe is released from the holding room and paces towards her workstation. Security guards pack a bag with things from her desk.
That's mine.
Chloe spots Sarah and decides to confront her.
I'll be right back. I'm more insulted that you thought I wouldn't notice than by the fact that you were spying on me.
Driscoll ordered me to do it.
Next time, do it right. Use a Newman filter so the subject doesn't see red lights flashing everywhere. Amateur. Bye, Edgar.
Edgar to Sarah.
Could you cover for me for just a second? Chloe. You guys give me a moment, please? I'm really sorry this happened.
Don't worry, Edgar. I didn't use names. Driscoll doesn't know you were helping me.
She doesn't?
I'm the one who got you into this. I'm not going to sell you out.
Thank you.
You're a geek, Edgar. But you're a good guy. Stay that way.
I don't really have a choice.
I guess not. Good luck today. You're going to need it.
Marianne watches snootily as Chloe walks off the main CTU concourse for the last time. She savors one final look over her shoulder. Edgar smiles back, and she's gone. 11:24. End of part two. Part three. 11:28. As Khalil continues to head along the freeway, Edgar tracks him using satellite surveillance. Driscoll to Sarah.
Sarah,
Assuming he continues driving west, what are our potential target areas?
Well, within the time frame he mentioned, Hassan will reach one of four residential communities and two industrial areas.
Data mine those areas. See if you can find any suspicious activity in the last 6 months. Citizen complaints, known associates, everything.
You got it.
Jack, the hostile's stopping at an intersection.
Jack trails Khalil out of sight, using a satellite feed into his PDA. As he approaches the traffic queue, he sees Khalil dead ahead.
Okay, I got him.
Jack pulls off the road into a car park and winds down his window to watch the intersection. Another car pulls up behind Khalil. Khalil grows impatient and blows his horn at an old station wagon parked ahead of him in the queue. Two angry thugs jump out of the car and prowl menacingly towards him. One of them pokes his threatening face through the open window.
Yo, Mohammed. That's your name, right? Ain't that what they call all you people?
I'm just trying to get home.
It'd be nice if all you all went home.
Aaron, three men have approached Hassan's vehicle.
Edgar, can you enhance this?
Hang on.
Look, I don't want any trouble.
Too late,
Mohammed.
A highway patrol vehicle intervenes, and the two thugs back off from Khalil's pickup.
What? Say nothing, goddamn.
You three, stay right there. Damn it, the police have got to stay clear of this. I ordered a cancellation of the APB on the truck. Make sure that that happened.
It did. It may not have gotten out yet to all the local CHP branches.
If they detain Hassan, this thing is over. He'll never lead us back to hell or put me through to CHP.
Sarah. This is CTU. I have a priority call for local dispatch.
To the driver behind Khalil.
Want to move this vehicle, please?
Yes, sir.
An armed officer approaches Khalil's pickup, his hand hovering cautiously over his gun.
Step out of the truck, please, sir.
Khalil complies.
What's going on here?
Just working some things out between him and I, so.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You three, stand by your car and wait.
Come on.
We're gonna lose him. Get me CHP now.
Wanna tell me what's going on here?
There's really no problem, officer. They're just upset about what happened this morning.
Sorry about that, sir.
May I go now?
Just bear with me 1 minute. Why don't you go ahead and call this in?
Copy that.
An officer sitting in the patrol car types Khalil's license plate number into a computer and runs a check.
Jack, I have local CHP dispatch.
Patch him through.
CHP, this is Officer Calvert.
Officer, I canceled an APB on a yellow pickup truck. License plate number 4, Los Angeles, Independent 945. Did you get that?
Yeah, I see it in the system. Haven't gotten word of a cancellation here, though.
One of your officers is questioning the driver of that vehicle. It is imperative that that driver not be detained any longer.
A message flashes up on the officer's screen. Vehicle reported stolen.
We'll get you on your way as soon as possible. It's just routine. Let those guys get to you. Just punks.
Yeah, I understand.
I think everybody's been a bit jumpy today with everything that's going on.
The second officer approaches, hand on gun.
Thanks for your patience. Only be another minute.
ACT 14, come in.
LA 6214, copy.
ACT 14, this is 1022 on the 215.
Roger that.
Task 1.
We're all clear.
Have a nice day, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Are you requesting
that? Khalil climbs back into the pickup as the officer approaches the thugs.
Moving.
As Khalil pulls away from the intersection, Jack screeches out of the car park and resumes the chase just outside visual contact. Edgar to Driscoll.
He's making another call.
Pipe it through to Jack.
Jack, Khalil's making another call.
That was a setup, and let's do a test. Yes?
We may have a problem.
I'm listening.
The police just ran the plates of the vehicle I'm driving.
And?
They let me go.
Jack, are you getting this?
Yeah.
So what is the problem?
This is a stolen car.
Maybe the owner hasn't reported it yet.
Or maybe I'm getting help from people who want to make sure I get where I'm going.
Do not jump to conclusions.
A police officer was approaching me, his hand on his gun. Then he got a call. Suddenly there's no problem. We can't take any chances.
I'm moving in. He's not going to lead us to the site. The best we can do right now is try and take him alive and break him. All units, move in. I repeat, move in. Okay, I've got a visual. Set up a roadblock at mile marker 15.
It has been an honor working with you, Omar.
The honor has been mine, Khalil.
Come on.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
11:33. Khalil looks into his rearview mirror and sees Jack's four-track closing in furiously from behind. Up ahead, on the opposite side of the highway, a fully laden container truck plows its heavy way toward him through the Californian desert. Khalil composes himself, grabs at the wheel, swerves into its path, and accelerates towards the inevitable.
Just drove head-on into another vehicle.
It was our only lead.
Jack runs towards the martyred wreck of Khalil's pickup, but is forced back as it explodes. Jack looks on in helpless horror.
Were you able to trace the call?
Curtis at CTU.
Okay. We're gonna switch gears, since we've lost our only lead. Khalil Hassan committed suicide en route to Eller's location.
Have they recovered anything on him that might help identify where Heller is?
It's too soon to tell. They're still putting out the fire from the crash.
How much time do we have before this trial begins to broadcast?
Sometime in the next 10, 15 minutes. Sarah Gavin.
It's me.
It's Jack.
Put him on speaker.
Go ahead, Jack. You're on speaker.
I'm sifting through the wreckage now, but there's not much intact. Hassan said he was 30 minutes from his destination. 20 minutes before he stopped. Do we have a maximum perimeter?
Edgar?
We're looking at a radius of 60 miles centered at Acton.
We're dispatching choppers and fixed-wing crafts to survey the area.
No, that's going to take too long. Use the satellites. Conduct a thermal scan.
Won't work.
Why not?
That area has a high concentration of electric power transmitters.
The satellite won't be able to distinguish between them and the service.
Those transmitters have been in place for years. If we take a scan, we can lay it against the previous grid pattern. That way we can identify any new thermal activity.
Well, we can start the scan immediately.
Do it. Jack, we're using the satellite to check the thermals.
Keep the line open.
Hurry.
Ms. Driscoll. The clinic wanted me to tell you that your daughter has arrived.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone reset your systems. Let's get back on track.
I have to take care of something for a few minutes. Check in with Division. They're expecting an update. Okay.
Everything all right?
Yeah, just a little problem with my daughter, Maya. I had to bring her down to the clinic.
Is she okay?
She's fine. Call Division.
Distracted from her work, Marianne watches Edgar closely as he pounds away from his desk. Curtis challenges her.
What are you working on?
Personnel allocation tables and tactical generals for the assault teams.
I notice every time I look over, you're talking to Edgar. What's that all about?
Just trying to learn the ropes, Curtis.
Curtis grabs her swivel chair.
Today is not the day to make career moves on people, Marianne. The only thing you should be thinking about is how to help us stop Heller from being publicly executed.
Come on, Curtis, give me some...
Save it. I know how you think. Just leave everybody alone and help us get through today.
11:42. Driscoll to a CTU doctor.
All right, Doctor, I'll take care.
Mark, thank you so much for helping me out. They said Miles arrived.
She's in the exam area. We're about to do a workup.
She's been on Thorazine. She stopped taking it.
How long ago?
Based on what happened this morning, at least a few days.
What happened?
She was fixating on one of my neighbor's kids.
What does she do?
She walks into the yard, gets verbally abusive.
We'll take good care of her.
Thank you.
Sure.
Driscoll visits Maya in a nearby wardroom.
Maya?
I'm so happy to see you. I was going crazy at home.
What happened with Evan? Why did you go over there?
I know you said not to, but he was throwing things against the fence.
Maya, he plays with the ball. He's 7 years old, sweetheart.
I don't care how old he is, he should know better. Are you gonna talk to his dad about this?
Come here.
She sits Maya down on a neat, patient bed.
Look at me. You're not thinking clearly, honey. You gotta put it out of your mind. Dr. Kalis is gonna help, and you're gonna feel better very soon.
Why don't we go home right now?
We can't, honey.
Why not?
There's a little trouble here in L.A., and I have to take care of it.
Are you gonna be okay?
Yes, I'm gonna be okay. And you're gonna be okay.
I love you so much.
They hug.
I love you too, honey.
I love you.
It's gonna be okay. It's okay.
Yes.
Khalil is dead.
Dead? How?
He was being followed here. He martyred himself. Without hesitation.
What about the servers? Have they been reconformed for the broadcast?
Duman is doing his best. I think we'll be all right.
If you need help, I can come.
No. It is too risky.
If the servers don't work correctly, we're in trouble. This trial is only the beginning.
I know that as well as you, my friend. But there's only to worry. Everything will go as planned.
To an American.
You've checked out the briefcase?
It's fine.
I was afraid it might be damaged in the train crash.
The case is very strong. There's no problem.
Good. Then you can get started.
11:45. Something catches Omar's attention.
Gas. I smell gas. Heller.
They hurry to Heller's cell and force back the bolts from the door. Their mouths from the gas, Omar's henchmen drag Heller and Audrey out into the corridor and throw open the outer doors. Fresh air wafts over them and revives them with a cough. As Audrey feels her way back into consciousness, she's shocked to see the familiar face of the American.
Job. Go.
Jack finishes up at the crash site.
Jack, it's Aaron.
Yeah.
We got the results from a thermal scan.
One site matches the criteria.
Where?
An old industrial park around 3 miles from you.
Give me the exact address.
It's off a service road, south of Brock.
Okay, I'll set up the staging area. Where's the Marine Strike Force?
20 minutes away. This trial starts any minute, Jack.
I know. I'll get back to you as soon as I'm on site. Meanwhile, have someone download the schematics to the building. Send them over to my screen.
Edgar's on it.
11:47. Jack heads for the industrial complex in his four-track. Meanwhile, President Keeler in Air Force One.
Pick the rest of these up later.
Yes, Mr. President.
What is it, Robert?
CTU thinks it's identified the location where the terrorists are holding Secretary Heller and his daughter.
Where?
A compound in the Santa Clarita Valley. But there is a problem. The teams dispatched to the site may not get there in time to prevent the broadcast. And even if they do, there is a good chance the Secretary will be killed in any rescue attempt.
Well, we have no choice but to hope and pray that you're wrong.
We do have a choice. The Secretary's death would be tragic. But his execution on American soil, broadcast to the world, would be far worse. It would be a complete and utter humiliation for the country. Perhaps the worst in our history.
I'm well aware of that, Robert. But unless you have some solution, I'm missing the point of this conversation.
The solution is we make a preemptive strike. Assuming we locate the site in time, we destroy it.
We kill our own Secretary of Defense.
To prevent our enemies from making a public spectacle of his death. He's going to be killed anyway.
Keeler paces over to the presidential insignia to consider Heller's fate.
Jim Heller is a good friend. A loyal public servant. You expect me to kill him to save face?
Not yours, sir. The country's. If we look impotent in this situation, it will only encourage more attacks. And if I may say so, sir, having known Jim Heller many years myself, if he were here, he'd be the first to endorse this plan.
The public will never accept it.
All the public will know is the secretary died during the course of a rescue attempt, which is certainly more palatable than letting him be executed with the whole world watching.
11:49. End of part three. Navi and Behrouz wrap Debbie's body in tape and plastic sheeting. Behrouz is too stunned to disobey. Navi hears the sound of a car parking at the end of the drive and marches over to the front door to investigate.
It's a woman. I don't know her.
Behrouz hurries over and peers through the net curtains.
Who is she?
It's Debbie's mom.
Go back. Stay there until she leaves.
What are you going to do?
Go.
Navi gestures to Dina to come quickly.
It's the girl's mother.
What?
Mrs. Ares.
Yes.
I'm Karen Pendleton, Debbie's mother.
Oh, good to meet you. Call me Dina.
Oh, it's good to meet you. My husband and I are very fond of Behrouz. He's one of the few boys who seem to know the meaning of please and thank you. Oh, I'm looking for Debbie.
This is my husband, Navi. This is Debbie's mother.
Oh, she's a very lovely girl.
We just got a call from our dermatologist's office. She missed her appointment this morning. Is she here?
We haven't seen her since yesterday.
She left a message saying she was on her way to see Behrouz.
There must be a misunderstanding.
Perhaps she stopped.
No, she wouldn't have stopped off anywhere. She knew she had this appointment. It'll take weeks to reschedule. Is Behrouz here?
He is studying.
Well, maybe he knows where she is.
I doubt it. He hasn't left his room all morning. School is very important to him.
That's your phone. I know the ring.
What many, many phones sound alike, Mrs. Pendleton.
No, she downloaded that ring specially. It's one of her favorite songs. No, that's definitely her phone.
Mrs. Pendleton. It was my phone. Debbie and I downloaded the same ring when we started going out.
Do you know where she is?
She said she had a doctor's appointment to go to this morning, and we're supposed to go to the movies later.
I'm sorry about this. I'm just worried. Well, if you do see her, if she calls, will you have her call me?
Oh, yes, of course.
Angrily to Behrouz.
I told you not to interfere.
It was her phone. I shut it off.
He took care of it, Navi. She went away because she believed him.
Let's hope so. Get in the car. Follow her. Make sure she doesn't go to the police.
All right.
Navi walks up to Behrouz, smiles, and strokes his head like a mafia godfather. Behrouz stares back expressionlessly and joins his father in the grisly task of wrapping Debbie's still warm body. Jack on the road.
I'm less than 2 minutes out. Have you worked up the rescue approach?
We're running up scenarios now based on the schematics.
Okay, what are the probabilities of finding the secretary and his daughter in the compound?
Our analysts looked at everything. The data's fuzzy, but our best guess is that they're in the west end of the building.
Together or separate?
We don't know that yet.
Okay, we're gonna have to activate a team split. One for the secretary, one for his daughter.
We discussed that, Jack, but it was rejected.
What are you talking about?
It comes directly from the president. Once we go in strong, there'd be very little time to secure the hostages. Our only priority is to get Heller.
Curtis, that doesn't make sense.
I don't like it any more than you do, Jack, but those are the orders. Jack, they're about to begin the broadcast.
I'm almost there.
11:58. In a makeshift studio, the terrorists prepare for the broadcast. Curtis and Driscoll watch the webcast on a monitor as a bound and gagged Secretary Heller is led into a chair by masked gunmen. A lone figure addresses the camera, his face hidden by a scarf. It's Omar.
We are about to embark on a process of justice that will forever change the world. Our people will finally be liberated from the tangle of corruption that has been choking them for centuries. No longer will justice be the propagandist tool of the power elite. It will once again become the instrument of the people, delivered through true believers, whose courage to use the sword has made this day not only possible, but inevitable.
Mr. President, I've taken the liberty of having a laser-guided missile programmed and prepped. All that remains is for you to give the order.
With the same conviction and resolve.
How long between my order and impact? Fighters in the air needs to get in range no more than 10 minutes.
We are required to render judgment fairly, without prejudice, or we will be judged the same as our enemies. As our prisoner shall be judged today,
do it.
His nation
let Driscoll know.
Also be judged. Today is the day the United States of America shall be tested to the final.
As Audrey quakes with fear in her cell, Driscoll receives confirmation of the presidential order.
It's already been authorized, ma'am.
Yes, I understand.
With a visual of Omar's guards, Jack prepares his weapons at the perimeter fence.
Yeah.
Jack, I have Miss Driscoll for you.
What's your position?
Aaron, I'm on site.
Jack, stand down.
What are you talking about?
The Marines won't get there on time. The President wants to take out the building with a missile strike.
With the Secretary and his daughter inside?
Yes.
Let me speak to the President.
Jack, I've been trying to get through to him myself.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to clear the area. Jack, don't go in there alone. Jack, talk to me. The airstrike's already been ordered. Get out of there.
12 p.m. The end.